Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and if you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to discuss, we have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742. If it's the 3 o'clock hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and whatever question you have or whatever issue you'd like to discuss, call now. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Andrew Farley.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yeah, you know, yesterday we talked about Galatians chapter 1 and how Paul was defending the gospel, and he was had a righteous anger about himself, and he was worried that these Galatians were abandoning the truth and seeking another message. Well, now today I'd like to highlight a bit from Galatians chapter 2. It says, "Through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And that is the gospel that Paul was defending. He says that we have to die to the law so that we can live for God. And how many Christians out there we find ourselves saying, I want to live for God. I want to live for God. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be God's right-hand man. I want to serve. I want to serve. Well, Paul tells us there's a new way to serve. We serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the old way of the law. So every Christian out there has died to the law. We may not realize it. We may not agree with it. We may dig our heels in and fight against it like the Galatians were. But if you are in Christ, then you, my friend, have died to the law, and there's only one way to serve God, and that is by knowing that Christ lives in you and that you live by faith in the Son of God. So, you know what? That is a walk that we wake up every day. We take a trust fall into Jesus plus nothing. Yeah. I mean, we're trusting Him from start to finish for our character, for the words that come out of our mouths. It's all about Jesus from start to finish.
Great stuff, Andrew. Thank you, and we appreciate the fact that you've offered that particular insight as we get this edition of Basic Gospel underway. And friends, we want you to be a part of it. 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Give us a call right now if you have something you'd like to talk about, a life issue or a Bible question. That's why we're here. We want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. And as we've talked about recently, Andrew has a new and very popular book. It's called Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told. Now, I'm over halfway through with it, and friends, I highly recommend it. In Twisted Scripture, Andrew addresses and untangles one by one these 45 misconstrued and misunderstood passages and clearly explains their true meaning. I feel it can be very liberating for our brothers and sisters who may be bogged down and defeated in their Christian life from hearing over and over again a misapplication of those 45 passages. There are others, I'm sure, but 45 that Andrew has zeroed in on. Again, it's called Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told. And I urge you to get your copy today. You can get it at basicgospel.net/twisted. That will take you to the Amazon site where you can place your order. Again, basicgospel.net/twisted. Well, again, 844-322-2742, let us hear from you. Right now, a call that came in overnight, Andrew. Let's listen.
I had to say to Jesus, I have the ability to give you all these things if you bow down and worship me.
Guys, I'm going to start that over. We missed the first few words of that. I'm going to start that over. So here we go.
Okay.
Satan tried to say to Jesus, I have the ability to give you all these things if you bow down and worship me. I truly do not believe that Satan really has any ability to give anybody anything, only to try to deceive with a lie. So does Satan actually have the power to give you something to deceive you, to drag you away? Thank you for trying to answer my question, and you have a great night, and thank you for being there.
Interesting question.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, you know, I think what we see from Satan time and time again is partial truths and twisting of the truth and lies. I mean, he's known as the father of lies. But the best way to deceive people, Bob, is to include a little bit of the truth in there. I mean, let's look at how he acted in the garden. He came to Adam and Eve and he said, you know what, you're going to be like God. I mean, if you eat of this, then don't worry, you're not going to die. You'll just be like God, and it's going to be wonderful. Well, it's true that they sort of left God, abandoned God, and became, well, they drew a circle around themselves and said, basically, I'm going to be Lord of this ring. I'm going to be my own God, in a sense. And that's the choice they made. But in doing so, they were doomed. In doing so, they ended up under the condemnation of sin and death. And they had no idea what that was going to be like. But that's exactly what happened to them. So Satan is really good at partial truths. And as far as an actual power over us, I mean, the Bible tells us that he cannot touch us. I mean, 1 John says the evil one cannot touch us. Yeah. So if he can't touch us, Bob, what does he do? Well, he lies to us.
Right.
And so, you know, it's like he's all bark and no bite. I mean, you know, you think about a dog. My brother had a dog next door that would annoy the heck out of his children growing up, and he had to build a fence in order to keep those dogs away. But once he built the fence, those dogs, they were all bark and no bite. They couldn't do any real damage. But were they still loud? Yes. Were they still annoying? Yes. And that is what Satan is like for us as believers. Loud and annoying, almost like a trial lawyer that's trying to retry a case that's already been settled. I mean, we were guilty and the punishment was death and Jesus died and the trial's over. But there's Satan, that annoying trial lawyer, trying to retry a case that is over and done with. And so he's all bark and no bite, and he tells partial truths and spins the truth and twists the truth in order to prevent us from understanding God's grace. And let me just say one final thing here, Bob. I mean, they had perfection. Adam and Eve had perfection. They were complete. They were lacking nothing. They were in great shape. And then the enemy's sales pitch was, you need more. You need more. You're not enough. You need to go searching, hunting, shopping for something greater. And if we're not careful today, guys, here we are in Christ, and we're complete, and we're made perfect, and God loves us perfectly, and everything. We're okay with God. We're righteous. And yet the enemy's going to accuse us and say, you need more. You need to go shopping. Jesus is not enough. It's Jesus plus the law. It's Jesus plus water baptism to be saved. It's Jesus plus paying off God with money. It's Jesus plus rules and regulations. It's Jesus plus, because you're not enough in him. And that is the lie that Satan tells believers today, just as he did thousands of years ago. So he is the father of lies. And yet, what do we do about it? Ignore him. Fix your eyes on Jesus and let his truth set you free.
And there's no wonder that the scripture refers to Satan as a roaring lion prowling about seeking whom he can destroy or can devour. So, interesting concept there.
Yes.
844-322-2742. Friends, remember that we are streaming live video to both Facebook and to YouTube every day, and we would like for you to take advantage of that. Bob has posted a relatively new video on our YouTube channel, so we encourage you to go there and take a look at that. It's one of those days, Andrew. Hey, we had this email that came in from a YouTube listener. Says, I've been hearing lately about pastors committing suicide because of depression. Will they still go to heaven?
Well, of course, if they're in Christ. I mean, let's set out first to differentiate that being a pastor is not a status symbol when it comes to God and being right with God. There are a lot of pastors, hopefully not too many, but there are some pastors out there that are preaching and teaching from the Bible yet don't know Jesus Christ as Savior.
Yeah.
I've met people like that. I know of a religion teacher in a university that I attended, for example, and he said, Andrew, I've taught the Bible all my life. I'm a Bible scholar of Old Testament and New Testament, and yet when people talk about this born again experience, I don't have a clue what they're talking about. And so, you know, there are people out there like that. So there's nothing magical about being a pastor that sets you apart in terms of your sins being forgiven or not. It is the blood of Jesus that makes our sins forgiven. Now, when it comes to suicide, you know, this seems to be the focus of the question, and I think it's the focus because there are misconceptions about suicide. I mean, some branches of Christianity, some flavors of the Christian faith seem to be teaching that suicide is an exception, that suicide is different, that somehow if you commit suicide, then you've lost your salvation, you're hellbound, and all bets are off. The grace of God has run out on you. The blood of Jesus is done with you, and you're in some serious trouble because you took your own life. Well, I mean, first of all, that is not the nature of who our Heavenly Father is. Someone's depressed out of their mind, and in a moment of weakness, they make a bad choice and take their life. Well, God's not kicking them when they're down. God's not saying, you know, I'm going to comfort you and counsel you, except if it gets real bad, I'm going to abandon you. I mean, let's go back to the core message of the gospel here. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Nobody can snatch you out of my hand. Even when you are faithless, I remain faithful, and nothing separates you from the love of Christ. Yeah. So that's the truth we hang on to. And, you know, I know where it's coming from. People are taking 1 John chapter 5 and saying, well, there's a sin that leads to death, and maybe that's an unforgivable, and maybe that's suicide. Well, a quick look at the New Testament, and we find out that the sin that leads to death is the sin of unbelief. If you reject the gospel, you experience spiritual death. I mean, 1 John 5 has nothing to do with suicide. There's no clue or context for suicide there. And so what you're seeing is that the Apostle John is simply saying, if you reject the gospel, if you say no to the life of Christ, then you're going to experience death. And as far as it being unforgivable, well, that's true. You can't find forgiveness outside of Jesus. But that passage, Bob, actually is just saying don't bother praying for someone who's committing a sin leading to death. In other words, you cannot pray someone into the kingdom. Yeah. Remember that although there are some people out there trying to pray for lost people or even those who've been deceased, we can pray that the gospel, they might encounter it, that they might hear it, but we can't choose for them, and we cannot pray people into the kingdom. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He says, I stand at the door and knock, but he will not knock down the door. Knocking at the door is different than knocking down the door. And so that's why we have to really get the message out and proclaim the excellencies of God's grace, and then let the chips fall where they may. Some people are going to receive and others are going to reject. But as far as any sin imaginable for a believer, taken away, forgiven, forgotten, whether they're a pastor or not, that's not the issue. The issue is always, what have you done with the blood of Jesus Christ?
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Andrew, for that. Friends, I understand that we've had some problem with the incoming phone system, so I think we have that fixed now. So if you called earlier and would like to get into the program, we still have plenty of time on the clock. So give us a call, 844-322-2742. If you're hearing this broadcast at about 12 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, it is the live broadcast, and we have time to speak with you right now, 844-322-2742. And friends, to honor your generosity this month, we want to send you our audio series, Living Life on the Edge. Now, this series and the accompanying booklet maps out the biblical way to handle the temptations of the world and those pesky desires of the flesh. Request your copy when you make your gift to Basic Gospel, and let the grace of God teach you how to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright lives as we await the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior through faith in Jesus Christ. Click donate at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Living Life on the Edge. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Andrew had this question from Darius, and says, I really enjoyed the radio program and how you always bring people's questions back to Jesus, high and lifted up, he says. Thank you for bringing the truth to the gospel to the airwaves. I believe Jesus is coming again, But I have many brothers and sisters in different churches who talk more about the rapture than they do about Jesus. I personally do not believe that there will be a rapture, but Jesus is Lord and is coming again, and I pray many will give their hearts to him. I would like to hear your thoughts on this.
Well, there's no doubt that the Lord is returning. I mean, we go to 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. We who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who've fallen asleep. The Lord will come down from heaven with a loud command, the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then it talks about us meeting him in the air. And then 1 Corinthians 15 says, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. We will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. And then you go over to Matthew, and Jesus says the Son of Man is coming on the clouds. So, you know, we have to believe in the return of Jesus Christ. It is plastered all over the New Testament. And then people want to say, well, when's it happening? And the answer to that is, and we have to be comfortable with that, Bob. You know, too many people over the years in the 80s and the 90s, when I was growing up, there were all these folks who were getting on the Christian airwaves trying to predict the return of Christ. Mm-hmm. They were looking at the Bible like a fortune cookie. They were looking at it like a math problem, trying to solve the formula and then tell people that Jesus was coming back. I'll never forget, I was in youth group and our youth pastor told us that he had read a book, 88 Reasons Why Christ is Coming Back, in 1988. Now, that book is not a big seller today, Bob, but, you know, this guy had read this book, and he said Jesus was coming back in the morning. So our whole youth group, we were awake all night, people trying to receive Christ 7 and 8 times just in case it didn't work the first time.
Oh,
and, you know,
sad.
You just, you crack open the Bible to 1 Thessalonians 5, and it says it's going to come like a thief in the night. Now, you know, I've been robbed by a thief in the night 3 times in South Bend, Indiana. It happened. And I'll tell you, you can't expect it. You don't know when it's coming. And Matthew 24, it says, the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. So we got all kinds of people who think that they know when the Lord is coming back. And Jesus himself is saying, I'm going to come back at a time when you don't think I will. So that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got to 2 Peter 3, come like a thief, and Mark 13, the day and the hour nobody knows. So here's the bottom line. Let's celebrate that we have a rescue. His name is Jesus. Let's celebrate that he is returning for us. But this business about how we can predict it and we can map it out and we can chart it, you know, that becomes an idol for people. It becomes a focus, and then they're distracted into fortune telling and future telling and prognosticating instead of fixing our eyes on Jesus right here, right now. This is the day of salvation because Christ lives in us today. Day, and he wants to express himself, so let's let him come back when he desires. But in the meantime, my goodness, we have abundant life here right now. Christ in you, your only hope of glory.
Indeed. Thank you, Andrew. Again, just a little bit of time left for you to give us a call at Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. I want to quickly remind you, friends, of September 6th and 7th, important dates on the Basic Gospel calendar for the Simply Grace Conference. If you're loaded down and burned out trying to be a Christian, well, there's a better way than all that struggle. We encourage you to come and be a part of that. All the information on the Simply Grace Conference is available at basicgospel.net/events. Again, basicgospel.net/events. Andrew, I had this question from an anonymous writer. This concerns Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, which say, for if you forgive others of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Since we're forgiven for all of our sins, past, present, and future, please explain this passage.
Well, this is a question that every thinking Christian should ask. I mean, it makes perfect sense to ask it because You know, Jesus said it's finished. He's taken away our sins as far as the east is from the west. He remembers our sins no more. Hebrews 10:14, by one offering we've been made perfect forever. So then here comes Jesus preaching this at the Sermon on the Mount, and he's saying, if you forgive others, God will forgive you, but if you don't, then God won't forgive you. Yeah. So what is going on there? Well, you know, is God only forgiving the nice people? I mean, is God running around saying, well, Bob, you did a pretty good job this week, this month, this year, forgiving other people. So I tell you what, I'm going to forgive you of this year's sins because you've been such a swell guy, so merciful and graceful at forgiving others that I'm going to forgive you. Well, that's not the gospel message. We know why we're forgiven. We're forgiven because Jesus hung on a cross, blood all over him, paying the price to reconcile us to God. And you look at Ephesians 4:32, and it says, forgive other people because God already forgave you. Which came first? Well, God's forgiveness came first, and then we get to pass it on. Colossians 3:13 says the same thing, that we forgive others because God forgave, past tense, forgave us. So, you know, we have to recognize that we're not initiating God. We're not putting God into motion here. We're not saying, well, God, look at all the forgiving I've done, so therefore please be nice to me. Instead, the gospel turns everything upside down. I mean, the gospel says it starts with Jesus. It starts with his grace. It starts with his forgiveness. It starts with his cross on Calvary. It starts with his blood. And then we get the honor and privilege of passing that on to other people. So why did Jesus say those things back in the Sermon on the Mount? Well, we could also say, why did Jesus tell people to pluck out their eyes and cut off their hands and try to be perfect like God? And why did he tell people to get right with their brother before they offer their animal sacrifice?
Yeah.
And why did he say that they would be answerable to the Sanhedrin? Well, the Sanhedrin was a Jewish council, an Old Testament Jewish council before the cross. And animal sacrifices were Old Testament Jewish rituals before the cross. And that's the answer to this question. We've got to put the cross as the dividing line of human history. And when we recognize that Jesus was amplifying the law, he was saying, you want a conditional love? You want a law-based system where your performance is front and center? Well, let me tell you, this is what it would look like. You would have to amputate body parts in your fight against sin, and you would have to go around forgiving others first and being merciful enough and kind enough and good enough for God to then forgive you. Imagine if they were under that system. When Jesus taught that, it was like nails in the coffin of anybody who thought they could earn righteousness.
Yeah.
And then, Bob, he dies and resurrects. He introduces a new covenant, and we're forgiven not because we're so sweet and nice all the time. We're forgiven because he initiated his blood being shed on that cross, and by one offering we've been made perfect forever. So man, let's forgive other people. Let's let them off the hook. Let's release them from the debt that they owe us. Let's forgive the sins of other people who've sinned against us, but only because God forgave us first.
Absolutely. Andrew, about 40 seconds for you to give us your view of the importance of supporting this ministry.
Well, Basic Gospel has been around for decades proclaiming the awesomeness of God's grace, total forgiveness, identity in Christ. How rare it is to find that focus on the airwaves today. So if you see the difference, if you appreciate what Basic Gospel is bringing you, imagine what it can bring other people. We invite you to go to our website, basicgospel.net, and support the ministry today so that even more people can hear the good news of Jesus Christ.
Friends, we encourage you to take Andrew up on that and make your gift today by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. And when you do, request your copy of Living Life on the Edge. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. We really need your support as we go forward to proclaim the fullness of God's love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thanks to Andrew, author of Twisted Scripture, for being with us both yesterday and today. Thanks, my friend, for being here. And we want to send your fans to basicgospel.net/twisted to get a copy of your book, Twisted Scripture. Again, that's basicgospel.net/twisted. And friends, if you have a question before our next live broadcast, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. If you post your question overnight, there's a good chance you'll hear it answered on tomorrow's broadcast. Again, that's at 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you. Or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for today. So for Andrew Farley, for Bob Christopher, and all of us at Basic Gospel, Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow at the same time. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.